Our lesson this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, Arguments Against Sexual Immorality for Believers. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. This epistle is timely for us who face our own decadent culture today. So we view 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20, on five arguments against sexual immorality for believers, and that for our insight and application. I'd like to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we're so grateful for your loving kindness, your word, for the Apostle Paul's ministry, for this passage of Scripture that lays out in very clear terms the moral ethics of God for Christians. So we ask that as we get into the passage that we would understand it and then rely upon the Spirit of God to apply the passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That is helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man practices is outside of the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When Paul wrote his first epistle to the Corinthians, some of his readers were apparently trying to use their Christian freedom to justify their sins of sexual immorality. So Paul revealed righteous limits to Christian liberty that prohibited sexual immorality for believers. And he presented five arguments in favor of moral purity in this realm in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20. And he did so as follows. Argument number one, the argument of what is helpful. That's verse 12a. Some believers at Corinth argued that all things were lawful for them due to their liberty in Christ. However, Paul argued that not all things were helpful or expedient, as you have in the King's English here. And sexual immorality was not spiritually helpful, since it was sin against God. Of course, that puts you out of fellowship with the Lord. If you're out of fellowship with the Lord, there's no spiritual edification. Then there's the argument of what was not enslaving, the last part of verse 12. Though some believers argued that all things were lawful for them in their newfound liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul argued that he should not be enslaved by anything. Sin enslaves a person to sin, so committed immorality made one a slave to sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 and 16 points that out. Then there's the argument of what does not violate God's ownership of the believer's body, verses 13 and 14. Another argument used by some of the church at the church of Corinth was the claim that meats were for the body and the body for meats, meaning that the body with its drive for sexual expression should be used to indulge in sexual immorality. However, Paul retorted that the body of a believer was not meant for fornication, but to glorify God. And since the Lord had raised Christ from the dead, He will also raise our bodies by his own power so that our bodies will be used for the glory of God. So that's the bottom line on what we do as Christians. Does it glorify God? And then the argument of what does not give God's property to a harlot. Paul added that the believer's body was a member of Christ. That's interesting. It was thus unthinkable for a believer to take his body, which belonged to Christ, and in a practical way, make it a member of a harlot. For one who joins to a harlot in sexual immorality is reckoned to be one body with her, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Remember that passage in Genesis 2, where God created Eve from Adam's rib, and then he brought her unto him. As a summary, the Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh." He's talking about sexual union there. If you join in sexual union with a harlot, you become one flesh. So it's illogical to do that. And, of course, in Corinth, they were talking about the temple prostitutes there, of the temple of Aphrodite. So you didn't want to get involved in that as a Christian. Your body is the property of God. It's interesting, we don't own ourselves. When we were bought by Christ, we were bought with a price. He bought us, as they say, lock, stock, and barrel. He owns us body, soul, and spirit. In fact, everything we have belongs to God. Your individual retirement account, the checking account, the car, the dog, the house, whatever, the clothes on your back, whatever you feel you own really belongs to the Lord. All we do is manage what belongs to him. So, for this reason, he who is joined to the Lord also becomes one spirit with him, verse 17. So when a believer commits immorality, that act affects the Lord and that believer's relationship with the Lord. For this reason, Paul urged his readers to flee immorality, much like Joseph exampled in fleeing from Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39, verse 12. You'll remember that passage. Joseph was constantly being approached by Potiphar's wife. She wanted to cohabit with him, and he kept refusing. Finally, she grabbed his outer cloak, and Joseph did the only smart and shrewd thing that he could. He knew his own limitations as far as avoiding temptation, so she took his coat, he got out of his coat and ran. He left. He fled it. In fact, the King's English says he got himself out. That's pretty clear. Every other sin a believer commits is outside of his body. But with immorality, you sin against your own body, and that, therefore, makes it a very, very serious offense. And then fifth, there's the argument of what does not corrupt the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul stated that the believer's body was a temple of the Holy Spirit who was in him, whom the believer had from God, that the believer did not even own himself. That's an amazing thing. We are actually indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. So if God, the Holy Spirit, is indwelling us, just like the Spirit of God with the Shekinah glory indwelt the tabernacle when it was sanctified by Moses, and then he came to indwell the temple when it was dedicated by Solomon. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell our bodies. In fact, our souls are sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. 10 trillion years from now, you're still going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, still sealed by the Spirit of God himself. So, since the believer was purchased for the price, he didn't even belong to himself, and he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he was obliged to glorify God in his body, what included avoiding immorality. So the lesson is, though liberated in Christ, we are limited from doing what is not helpful, what is enslaving, from what is violating God's ownership of us, from giving our body to a harlot, from using our body for immorality, since it is the Holy Spirit's temple. So in application, may we enjoy our liberty in Christ, but realize that that liberty has limits as to our conduct, and that we should not perform acts of sin with our liberty, especially in reference to committing acts of sexual immorality. We have a lot of liberties in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't have the liberty to sin. and especially sinning with the body itself. That really messes up a person's testimony, messes up his relationship with the Lord, and it really does a tremendous amount of harm. In fact, the sexual immorality is one of the sins that, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, later on we're going to discuss, or actually 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I am correct here, is church discipline has to be exercised for that particular sin. It's very corruptive for the entire church body, because if you allow immorality to occur, and it breaks up marriages and whatnot in the church, it spreads like wildfire. So we really need to get on top of this and head it off in the past. Many years ago, we had a church discipline that we exercised in our church. Someone had committed immorality. It was a married person. And the person had not repented of it, so we exercised church discipline and removed them from the body. That turned out to be very, very helpful, because there were apparently two other men, married men, in the church at the time who were actually considering immorality. And when we exercised church discipline, they said, no, I don't want to put my family through that. So they stopped. Thank God. So there's a value in exercising discipline this way. But immorality is something that really does a number on the individual himself and on the church where immorality occurs. So we need to realize that this is something, it's not helpful, it's enslaving, it can be enslaving. It violates God's ownership of the believer's body. It does not, we should not give God's property to a harlot. And also, we don't want to corrupt the temple of the Holy Spirit. So logically, it does not make sense at all for a believer to commit immorality. So God help us to remain pure before Him.